Ram heard Hanuman with heart and eyes overflowing, and when he had come to the end of his narrative, said, "The deed done by Hanuman, none else in the world could even conceive of attempting, crossing the sea, entering Lanka protected by Ravan and his formidable hosts, and accomplishing his king's wishes, not only fully, but beyond the fondest hopes of all." And it saddened Ram to think that it was not in his power to reward Hanuman adequately for the supreme joy he had brought. And he said, "O Hanuman, let this embrace of mine stand as an acknowledgement of all that my heart feels in gratitude for your great service to me." So saying, while his whole being thrilled with grateful love, he took Hanuman into his arms and clasped him to his chest. He then said, "Sugriv, Hanuman has indeed wrought a wonder. He entered Lanka, so strongly guarded by the Rakshasas. He has discovered Sita, and by consoling her, has preserved her life. And bringing back good news of her, he has saved my life also. But how are we going to cross the sea? How can our huge army reach the other shore? Before we can attack Ravan's city and the Rakshasa's army, we have first to cross the sea. I see no way of doing it. Our joy in Hanuman's achievement and the good news he has brought is overshadowed by anxiety about our future course." But the Vanar King said,
"What is this, my Lord Ram? What need is there for dejection? Here are my warriors ready to lay down their lives for you. And let it be our joy to transport you and Lakshman to Lanka. Have no doubt that we can do it. The moment Hanuman saw Lanka, you may take it that the fortress has fallen. Doubt only makes the warrior weak and afraid, and should be cast aside. Our victory is certain. The feeling of confidence in my heart at this moment is a good enough omen for me."
Thus Sugriv reassured Ram and inspired him to action. Then Ram and Hanuman discussed matters about Lanka, the town, the fort, the moat, and other defenses. Hanuman described the wealth of Lanka, the happy lives of the Rakshasas, their confidence in Ravan, and their affection for him. He told Ram of the might and the size of Ravan's army, the strength and structure of the fortress, the alertness of the sentry, the moats, walls, gates, catapults, and drawbridges, and the care and thoroughness of all the arrangements for defense. He also explained how the coast, too, was carefully guarded so that no enemy ship could approach it. Then he said, "And yet you may be certain that our Vanar army is fully equal to the conquest of Lanka. We have with us peerless warriors like Angad, Dwivid, Mainda, Jambavan, Panas, Nal, and Neil. We have an enormous army. We shall fly in the sky and without touching the ground destroy Lanka. Its mountains and forest defenses are nothing to us. We shall smash the city to the ground. So fix the auspicious time and give us the order to start." Under the Star of Triumph, Uttar Phalguni, at high noon, the army set forward towards the southern sea. Good omens greeted them. As they marched, Ram, Sugriv, and Lakshman went conversing with one another. Ram said, "If only Sita could know that we have set out, it would encourage her to keep her life going." Scouts who knew the way went ahead, looking out for enemies lying in ambush. They led the army through the regions that could provide food and drink for the huge troops. With speed, the host crossed mountains and forests. The Vanars sometimes carried Ram and Lakshman on their shoulders so that the march might be speedy. Every moment, the enthusiasm of the Vanars increased. They jumped and roared and sported. Ram could hear them saying to one another, "I shall kill Ravan. I shall confront and kill him." Neil and Kumud went ahead, reconnoitering in front of the army. Strong warriors were kept in the rear, guarding it from behind. King Sugriv, Ram, and Lakshman were in the middle. Ram gave strict orders that the army should inflict no harm or hardship on the towns and villages on the way. The noise of the marching army was like the roar of the sea and filled the eight quarters. The dust they raised just covered the whole sky. When they came to the Mahendra Mountain, Ram climbed the peak and surveyed the sea. He then said, "We should now think and decide how the army can cross the sea. Till then, let it camp and rest in the forest." Sugriv passed the order to the commanders, and the Vanars camped in the forest by the seashore. When Sugriv, Ram, and Lakshman had satisfied themselves that the whole army had settled in comfort, the two brothers retired apart from it. And Ram said, "If a person loses a dear thing, people say that time will enable him to forget about it and he will cease to grieve. But Lakshman, this is not what I find." Dejection again seized Ram for the thought of Sita, and her condition preyed on his mind now more than ever before. He grieved. When Ravan seized Sita and carried her off, she must have cried aloud, "My lord, Ram, Lakshman!" But she saw no one coming. "We failed to go to her aid. Every time I think of the suffering that she must have gone through, my grief swells up afresh. What am I to do, Lakshman? Like the limbs of one who has drunk poison, my whole body burns with pain. She is held in the grip of the cruel Rakshasis, and she is in great anguish. Janak's daughter, the bride who entered the home of great Dasarath, lies on the bare ground, a prisoner, surrounded by female demons." But Lakshman said, "Ram, stop sorrowing. Soon we shall destroy Ravan and rescue Sita and take her home to Ayodhya. She will enter the city like the goddess of chastity. Just give up your grief and arm yourself with courage."